How many of you who have been parents or are parents have used babysitters? Raise your hand. Whether you've paid for them or not, you know. We all use babysitters. We don't leave our little children alone to fend for themselves. Nancy and I, having raised four boys, we've used many different kinds of babysitters. But the one thing I know is there comes a point at which, with your children, even using the term babysitter is not a very positive thing. Right? They're too old to have a babysitter. I'm not a baby. I don't need to be sat. Right? And so you come up with different kinds of language. Oh, that's good. I like that. Professional friends for the friendless. I don't know about the rest of you, but when Nancy and I would leave our kids with babysitters, we'd usually leave a list of rules and tell our kids, you know, things like, you know, make sure you eat your vegetables and don't strangle your brother and, you know, go to bed when the babysitter says it's time to go to bed. And our standard way of operating, if the rules weren't followed, was time out. So we had a chair, a particular chair that time out took place on. So we came home one day, and one of our sons, I won't tell you who it was, but his initials are Ben, and he was a little guy, and he's sitting in the chair, and he's got his face toward the back of the chair, and he's sitting there, and our babysitter said he's been there a long time, because he was not about to behave, One of the things that Nancy and I have shared this many times, that discovered that over time, whether you're talking about babysitters or us, giving kids a list of rules and telling them that they need to obey those rules, eventually it's not helpful. It may control the situation for a period of time, but it doesn't raise children up to be adults. Now, we've gone through this four times, and I can say, beyond a shadow of a doubt, we've raised four fine young men. And part of that is because we realized that what we really wanted to instill in them were certain principles and not just the ability to follow rules. And those three principles were responsibility, respect, and relationship. Responsibility is you have to be a responsible person. You have to take responsibility for your own life. You don't get to blame other people. One of my favorite commercials are these two kids sitting in the back seat of the car, and the father leaves to go do something, and it's one of the newfangled cars, and so you can text from the car. And so they click on the thing, and they begin, "Mom, the kids have been doing great. I think they need a new bike," you know, those kinds of things. And then he comes back, and he says, "Why have you guys been texting Grandma?" And the first thing that they do is they point their finger at each other and it says, "He did it. It's his fault." Well, to be an adult, you have to be able to take responsibility and stop pointing the finger at other people. And you need to take responsibility. Respect. Respect things and respect people. I've talked about this many times. Every single one of you, no matter who you are and what you've done or what you're doing, you deserve respect. Why? Because you are created in the image of God. You're a person of value and worth. And until we see people and also things as an extension of that, we're really just like little children who need a babysitter. And the last one is relationship. Relationships trump everything. It was talked about in roundtables this morning. I didn't get a chance to say it, but I like what Colin said. Being in a right relationship is more important than being right. And until you learn that, you're really just a child who needs a babysitter. Well, this issue of babysitter is what this text is about this morning. And I've asked Maggie Warren if she would come up and she would read that text.
This is from Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 through 29. Before this faithfulness arrived, we were kept under guard by the law, in close confinement until the coming faithfulness should be revealed. Thus, the law was like a babysitter for us, looking after us until the coming of the Messiah, so that we might be given covenant membership on the basis of faithfulness. But now that faithfulness has come, we are no longer under the rule of the babysitter. For you are all children of God through faith in the Messiah Jesus. You see, every one of you who has been baptized into the Messiah has put on the Messiah. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no male or female. You are Abraham's family. You stand to inherit the promise.
Father, I ask that you take this passage from Paul's letter to the Galatians, and your Spirit who caused Paul to write these things down would now come and cause them to come alive in us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is a continuation of Paul's conversation and argument about the temporary nature of the law. The term that he uses in here that's translated babysitter is often translated as teacher, but that's really not right. The word is about a guardian, often a household slave, whose job it was to care for the child and get him places, or her places, safely. So take him to school, take him to a place to maybe do a chore or whatever, and make sure that that child was cared for and kept out of mischief and so on in the meantime. And that's what Paul is talking about here. And there are times in our lives when we need that kind of guardian. What Paul is saying is that the story of Israel from the time of Moses to the Messiah is the story of a child who needs looking after. But when the child grows up, the babysitter is no longer needed. And not just because we don't like the term babysitter, we really don't need the babysitter any longer. And Paul's amazing announcement is that with the coming of the Messiah, and he calls that the coming of faithfulness, he's saying the Messiah is the faithful one. It's his faith that has caused this to happen. The coming of the Messiah, Israel's child, the child of Israel, I should say, has finally grown up, has reached the age of responsibility, trustworthiness. The word he uses there, trustworthiness, can be translated as faith, faithfulness, trustworthiness, all different kinds of things that are all kind of in that same vein, reliability. And in the way that Paul is using it here, he's saying that's the sign of maturity. That's the sign that this person or these people are really a part of the family of God. It's a sign of the grown-upness of the people of Israel. The coming of Jesus the Messiah is the sign that Israel's maturity has finally come and all the promises of God are being fulfilled. Not only for Israel, but the amazing announcement of the gospel is for the entire world. God's promise to Abraham was, I will bless you. And what else would he say? Through you. Yes. That's the promise to Abraham. And Paul is saying that promise to Abraham is now been fulfilled in the Messiah. And because you're in the Messiah, you're part of that promise. So what do we do with that? Is it all about that? Well, it's not all about that. It's also that and our response. What is our response? So our answering faithfulness is to trust in Jesus the Messiah. To use the language of a couple of weeks ago, to climb up on his back and let him carry us off across the great divide. Not the great divide between earth and heaven, but the great divide between the evil age and the age to come, the new heaven and the new earth. Which is why Paul says, you're all children of Abraham through the faithfulness of Jesus the Messiah. Children of God is the title for Israel in the Bible. And so once again, I want to reiterate what he's saying is, the whole story of Israel from, his, from Moses to the Messiah is the story of a people who needed a babysitter. But now you don't need that babysitter any longer. And so his argument to the Gentiles, Christians, who are being told they need to become a Jew and follow the law, go back to the babysitter. He says, do you really want to go back to infancy? Do you really want to live that way, where you're under the thumb, if you will, of a guardian who's going to have you sit in the chair until you fess up? No, he says, you don't. You want to live as adult members of God's one family. He says this in this passage, for you are all children of God through faith in Messiah Jesus. You see, every one of you who has been baptized into the Messiah has put on the Messiah. Therefore, and then he uses language that is common knowledge to everyone there who said, here's the people who get a place at the table and here's the people who don't get a place at the table. If you're a Jew, you get a place at the table. If you're a Greek, you don't. If you're a man, you get a place at the table. If you're a woman, you don't. If you're a free person, you get a place at the table. If you're a slave, you don't. And Paul says this, in this new community, this new family that God is creating, everyone who has been baptized in the Messiah, everyone, there is no longer Jew nor Greek. There is no longer slave nor free. There is no longer male nor female. You are all one in the Messiah Jesus. Now, don't make the mistake that those are the only categories, because we have new categories today. We don't care whether somebody's a Jew or a Christian or not. We say, you can come and be a part of this. We don't care whether you're a slave or a free man or not. Oh, we do care. We care. We want people who are slave to be free. But it's not a position of status. In other places, Paul brings in not just the status of male or female, but also of rich and poor. You need to think about what are the status categories that we have today for people who get a place at the table. Paul is saying, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your category is. All those things don't count for anything in the family of God. You have a place at the table. You all belong to the Messiah. You're all a part of Abraham's family. You all have a place at the table. You all are heirs of the promise. And ultimately, what Paul is going to say, the ultimate promise is the promise of the Spirit of God. What his argument is, the Spirit of God gives you the power and the capability to treat all people equally, to stop pointing the finger, and to take responsibility, to carry your own load. He's going to talk about carrying your own load. The Spirit gives you the possibility of recognizing the relationships count more than anything else, more than rules, more than regulations, more than rituals, even more than doctrines. People count. This is why the gospel of Jesus Christ is so radical. It is so different than the way we operate left to our own devices. This is what the life of the Messiah is all about. This is why he came. This is why he lived, why he ministered, why he died, why he rose from the dead, why he ascended to be with the Father, where he reigns with God now, and he prays for us, and this is why he's going to come again to renew and restore this entire earth so that he can make all things new. This does not mean that anything goes. You still have to eat your vegetables. You still need to stop strangling your brother. Right? You get what I'm talking about here? But the reason that you do it and the power that it gives you the ability to actually live that way, you do it for a different reason. You do it because you love God and because you love people. You do it because you're an adult, you're mature. You don't have to be told, eat your vegetables. You don't have to be told, don't strangle your brother. You don't have to be told, go to bed at the right time. Oh, well, maybe you do need to be told to go to bed at the right time. Or maybe we need to be told a lot of things. But in the age of the Spirit, we don't need to be told that by rules and regulations. We don't need to be told that by a babysitter, which is what the law is. You're in the Messiah. You're all grown up. So act like it. I love that. Act like it. Live into it. Get a picture in your mind that you are an adult in Christ. Now you have the opportunity to live into that adulthood. Amen? Amen. Amen.